Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The sun has returned to tennis paradise. Welcome to TC Live. And after a night of storms came through the Coachella Valley, the top stars are set to shine once more. It is day two of the BNP Paribas Open, and we've got a lot to discuss over the next hour. Mother Nature wasn't the only cloud hanging over Indian Wells, as three-time champ Rafa Nadal announced he wouldn't be able to play this year. We'll let you know why. Plus, Venus Williams made her 2024 debut last night, making it 31 years playing on tour. After one of the shortest outings of her career, what she needs to do to reign supreme. Former champ Naomi Osaka is back to play later today. We break out the mom tracker to follow all seven mothers in the draw, making tennis look like child's play. And we cannot miss this story, one from heartbreak to hope, how tennis helped this young woman overcome unthinkable tragedy. You don't want to miss it. Looking at our featured matches today, Stadium 1 and Stadium 2, we begin top of the hour. Stan Wawrinka, Thomas Mahach, then the conclusion to Venus Williams, now Hibino. How about Naomi Osaka taking the court against Sarah Errani? And then over on Stadium 2, the night session, headlined by Sloane Stephens and Sophia Kennan, looking for her second win of the year, taking on Victoria Tomova. Players out on the practice courts, Coco Gauff on the cover of Vogue magazine. Top-ranked American goes from striking a pose to striking tennis balls. She will begin her quest for a first title here. That is tomorrow. And Novak Djokovic starts play on Saturday, going for history every time he steps on the court. Back in the desert for the first time in 5 years, begins his journey for a record sixth title at Indian Wells. Looking forward to seeing Novak back on the court. And how about this? As always, we are inside Stadium 1. You can wave to us, say hello on our BNP Paribas desk. Steve Weissman, Coco Vandeweghe, Prakash Amitraj, back with you on day two. And what was up with the rain last night, Coco? This is tennis paradise. It's not supposed to do that.
Listen, the only person that's undefeated out here is the weatherman. They're never wrong and never right, so they're completely undefeated. But unfortunately, the mountains could not deter the weather that has been coming through L.A. and San Diego. And usually we can miss it, and that's unfortunately not what was able to happen coming up. I miss the tennis, though.
I do want to apologize because I will say, full disclosure, there were only a few umbrellas here in the green room, and I took the last one, so Mr. Weissman had to kind of battle through the rain, got his stuff messed up, so I apologize.
New shoes on,
I didn't get a chance to say sorry.
But we were together, by the way, before you left, and you sneakily, low key, he left.
The tea is coming out right now.
Listen, if you start saying goodbye to everyone, that's another hour.
Brett Haber sometimes took the first umbrella, but he was open about it, and then I was like, oh, there's one more, it's cool, and then he leaves. I'm stuck. No umbrella.
Listen. He is the king of Irish goodbyes. That's what we're learning. He left Steve in the dust. But mind you, I was the only smart one out here, and I got out of Dodge quickly. I was first one out before the rain even hit. Try to get some pool time, trying to get a little tan. But it was deterred. Priorities.
Need to follow Coco. The big news overnight, however, Rafa Nadal announcing he was withdrawing from the tournament. Three-time champ said he's been working hard, practicing. You all know he took a test this weekend, but didn't find himself ready to play the highest level at such an important event. Said, I can't lie to myself, and I can't lie to the thousands of fans. Rafa was set to play tonight. Unfortunately, cannot go. Prakash, what was your reaction to this?
Well, look, he made it all the way over here. He's been training for a week, trying to get himself in order. Look, he's had a lot of time away, and he has the best of abilities to be able to find what he needs to be able to recover. And the fact that he hasn't been able to do it yet, get his body in that shape, a little bit concerning, but the only hope we can have is perhaps shifting from the hard courts to the clay allows him a little bit more ease of body, and he does get what he's ultimately going for, which is that one more crack at the French.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're all hoping for, is Nadal gets his one more shot at the French Open. I think that's so important to him, has been so important to his career as well, getting that opportunity to really capitalize and definitely put his signature on a fantastic career. And it's sad to see, and unfortunately it happens to every great legend, that Father Time is undefeated, and it's coming to terms with that. And I think Rafa is coming to terms with the fact that his body is failing him at this point in his career. And we all hope that that's not the case, that we have, you know, 20 more years of Rafa. But unfortunately, it seems like the writing's on the wall and the end is getting closer and closer.
Wish Rafa the best. Hope he comes back healthy and soon. He is replaced in the draw by Sumit Nagal. So you replace just one letter from Nadal to Nagal. He's playing tonight against Milos Raonic. Speaking of legends, Venus Williams headlined the night session last night. Did not get in a whole lot of tennis, Coco. Just a couple games playing now, Hibino.
No, but, I mean, this is the key thing for V. Coming out with the strut, with the red lip. I mean, definitely showing what she's all about and the legend that we are watching on court, on display. It's always a pleasure to get V out onto the court, to see her game in full force. And that's what we're going to have to see for her to be successful in this event. And just taking balls early, trying to finish the rallies as quickly as possible, especially against Hibino, who doesn't really have that much power, doesn't really have that much force behind the ball. V is going to have the opportunity to be able to be in first strike tennis.
All right, we'll see her second on Stadium One today. On Sunday, Katie Bolter won the biggest title of her career, taking out Marta Kostyuk to win in San Diego. Got to her career high 27 in the world, but because the WTA uses the previous week's rankings to determine seeding, she did not get a first-round bye. And as we know, on any given day, Prakash, Camilla Giorgi can out-hit anyone. That happened yesterday.
Well, as we saw in Canada just a couple of years ago, I mean, when she's hot, she's hot. So 6-3, 6-2, 3-4. On break points converted, 75% first serves won, and she was smoking from both sides. She took that first set comfortably, didn't get broken once the entire time. Katie Bolter was really on the back foot, and when these balls start moving through the air, there's not a lot you can do unless you try to give yourself a little bit more time, create a little bit more space, and Bolter just wasn't able to do it. Even right there, opening up the court with that big forehand cross court, she was able to play the X's quite a bit, didn't have to take too many balls up the line. Makes your life a lot easier when you're able to do that. Strong win.
Bolter only won 9 of 25 points on second serve. Giorgi 4 for 4 on break points, and then was up early today right next to Prakash on the treadmill.
Listen, you have a win like that, you get right back on it the next day. That's how you get ready for the next one, Weissman.
What's your code? All right, Caroline Wozniacki, 3-time finalist here at Indian Wells, back in the desert. She won the whole thing in 2011 facing Zhu Lin, Coco.
Yes, I watched her in tiebreak 10s and watched her play a little bit with Holger Rune. And it was just exciting to see Wozniacki back. And you could see the pleasure that she has in her game now. Definitely a different chapter in her life. But you're still seeing vintage Wozniacki dictating with her backhand corner. Unfortunately, we're seeing her ball depth really lacking in these matches that she's played so far. And it's really going to be key for Wozniacki, especially given the conditions, to keep the depth on the ball. And that's just not happening. You saw in that return right there, that's around the service line. It makes it so easy for your opponents to be able to tee off. So hopefully we can see, hopefully no rain in the forecast, her come through in straight sets and keep working on her game to get back into form.
Yeah, good thing to take that first set in a tiebreak and then one love as we will resume play today. Andy Murray said recently he may not play much past the summer, Prakash, but after yesterday's performance, who knows? A little domination against David Goffin.
I love the way Andy Murray played yesterday. I mean, he was a little bit more aggressive than we've used to seen him doing in recent times. Hasn't been winning too many matches as of late, but made his life a lot easier by the way he served today. Didn't face one break point, 85% won on first serve, 72 on second serves. And when he's doing that, it just allows him to open his shoulders up a little bit more on the returns. And Goffin, sure, not a big serve, so Murray was going to be in all of those return games anyway. But I love seeing Andy Murray being able to get off the court like this, fairly simple, stepping into that second serve, winning the first set with one break, second set with two breaks, and dare I say, Weissman, a clinical performance?
You can say and say again, it was clinical. 8-0 against Goffin. We spoke to Andy after about his favorite players to watch on tour.
I love watching Alcaraz. Because of the way that he plays the game, he's just got so much variety and power, and he tries stuff, you know, like, and he doesn't always get it right. Like, he makes mistakes, and that is also something that, you know, I enjoy. Yeah, enjoy watching. You never know what to, you know, what's going to come next. I've always enjoyed watching Monfils as well, and on the women's side, I love watching Iga. I think she's brilliant to watch. She's my favorite player to watch on the female side.
Iga saw that, said, oh, Andy, I love to hear it. You're an inspiration. Pretty cool to hear who one of the legends of the game actually looks up to himself.
I mean, it's definitely really great to hear. But I do have to call both of you out. You two were far too giddy when Andy Murray showed up onto set. I thought I was the highlight of the day, you know, being around you two. But unfortunately, I got definitely kicked down a couple notches by Sir Andy Murray. And I think you guys need to rein it in if he ever comes back to the desk. Really get yourselves under control because, you know, we can't be embarrassing ourselves out here.
Coco, you don't get it. When Andy's out there, we don't know how much longer he's playing on the tour. So me and Steve are over here watching him play like, get him, King! Get him! So, you know, we got to show him the love when he comes to the desk.
By the way, I mean, we were matching his energy. Okay. He was excited to be here as well.
Well, I mean, Tennis Channel, they got to roll back the clip of more excitement out of Andy Murray because, you know, I think that was more of a subdued Andy. I mean, he's a great legend. I've done many events with Andy, and he's so subdued and so sarcastic, and it's just, it really comes off great. And I'm going to miss Andy definitely on tour, but you guys need it. Chill it out.
Listen,
chill it out.
Andy, come back. Join us again. Have another 8-minute convo.
Poor guy was shivering.
It was the conversation
out of
off there, actually. That
you
was,
know,
that was
that's
the,
right.
the best stuff. Andy's the man. Continuing on, All-American battle between Brandon Nakashima and Chris Eubanks yesterday. We were talking before the match about the FanDuel odds, and they predicted Nakashima for Cup.
Yeah, it was a great serving day for both guys. It was just a few too many unforced errors there from Eubanks in that first set, just kind of sprayed quite a few, made Nakashima's life a little bit easier. It was only one break point that either of them faced, and it was Eubanks, which you saw there in that first set. Second set, pretty straightforward all the way through to the breaker, but again, it was just Nakashima on the front foot. Eubanks, Chris doesn't like playing defense there, and that was the defense there. That was the difference there, rather.
Nakashima, 19 wins on the Challenger Tour, first time on the tour level to get a win this year as Big Banks falls to 3-5 this season. Still to come on TC Live, we have the story of how a survivor of the Rwandan genocide of the 1990s used tennis to change her life. Plus, Stevie Johnson putting a wrap on his tennis career here in Indian Wells. We pay tribute to the former number one ranked American. Stay with us. TC Live in the desert.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Coco Prakash and Steve back on TC Live at Indian Wells. You can set up multiple screens to watch this event. We've got you covered on T2 and Bally's. Take a look at this lineup. Leif Shiras, Paul Anacone going to call Emma Raducanu and Rebecca Masarova. Then it is the conclusion to Caroline Wozniacki and Zhu Lin, plus Gael Monfils and Max Purcell. And following those matches on T2, we've got the Second Serve crew bringing you at least 3 more hours of tennis matches and conversation. So will we have any more rain? It is now time for today's forecast with Fox Weather.
Hey, tennis fans, I'm Fox Weather's Craig Herrera. Here is today's BNP Paribas Open forecast in Indian Wells, California. Temperature's right about 70 degrees, a little bit of sunshine out there. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thanks, Craig. Still to come, mum's the word in the desert. 7 mothers are in the draw, and they're not kidding around. All the highlights when we come back on TC Live. Back on TC Live, tennis.com is the place to keep up with all the action from Indian Wells all year round as well. Check out to follow men's and women's tournament draws as well as breaking news, live scores, stats, and results. Download the tennis app or visit tennis.com today. They do a fantastic job, and every day, Leah Davidoff has your three to see, previewing the best matches of the day. Today, she's looking at Naomi Osaka, Sloane Stephens, and Denis Shapovalov. Former world number one Angie Kerber returning to Indian Wells for the first time as a mother. Has baby Liana with her, looking for her second win of the year. Coco facing Petra Martic.
And this wasn't an easy matchup. Chanda and I called this match, and it was really Petra Martic dictating and trying to get to her forehand as much as possible. And that all starts with the serve for Petra Martic. But what Angie Kerber does so well is she makes so many returns back in play. And as a big server, that really starts to daunt on you. It makes you feel like you have to do more and more. And Petra just really couldn't sustain these longer rallies with Angie Kerber. Yes, you could see that the nerves were creeping in at the times where you need to close out sets, or the start of the second set where she was up an early break and really just started to get passive in her point play. She was playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And I think that's going to be the difference maker in Angie Kerber's game going forward in this tournament.
First top 100 win since coming back. 125th win at a 1,000-level event. So here is the mom tracker. All right, how are the seven moms doing? We got a couple wins yesterday. Kerber won as well as Tatiana Maria. We will see Naomi Osaka, Taylor Townsend, and Caroline Wozniacki in action today. The two-seeded players, Victoria Azarenka and Alina Svitolina, both getting byes. But we talked to Angie yesterday, Prakash, and she was telling us how her little baby daughter about to take her first steps. Yeah. And so she's with her here. Hopefully that does not happen when she's out on court, but pretty special.
Yeah, it certainly is. And the best thing about it is, as she talked about with us, her perspective has completely changed. You know, and now everything isn't completely revolving around her. And look, as tennis players, especially as singles players, you are taught that everything kind of evolves around you. And that's how you need to do it to be able to succeed. But when you get to a point where you are a parent and there is something that's more important, it gives you a different perspective about wins, about losses. And to see all of these mothers coming back and excelling at such a high level, I think it's a beautiful thing. It's not just about the sport, but a great lesson that all of us can take away.
No, I think Angie playing now and playing with a different motivation. We've seen it talked about with many of the moms out there on tour, but it is so true that as singles players, you are taught to be selfish and everything revolves around you and your schedule and sleep and recovery and all that. And a baby does not listen to that. So, you know, it's definitely a learning process, and Angie's going to get it right at some points and wrong at others. And it's just going to be a fun time in her life to be able to experience this, not only with her family, but for herself as a mom. And that title is really important.
Yeah. And we spoke yesterday about the fact that she's already a future Hall of Famer. Right. She's got the three major titles, former world number one. It's all gravy from here on out. And you could just see that happiness in her. Our own Taylor Townsend, by the way, came through qualies here and will play her first round match later today. And you can see her happiness and joy on the court as well, Coco.
Yes. And the WTA has done such a great job at being able to let these mothers come back after maternity leave and have an opportunity to really still have a successful career. Yes, tennis really takes a couple of your good years, I guess, in life that you can able to step away from the game and have a family and have a life outside of tennis. That's so important as just in a person's aspect. And it's great that the WTA is making inroads to be able to have all these people come back play, because we want to see an Angie Kerber, we want to see a Vigo, we want to see Tay Town come back and have successful careers. So it's great that the WTA is affording these opportunities to all these moms.
Well, just in addition to the WTA, you see the sheer quantity of the players that are motivated and wanting to do this and come back to the tour. It just makes it a lot more of the norm. And that wasn't necessarily the case 25, 30 years ago. It was probably looked at a little bit differently. It's much tougher to do with more and more players, more and more great athletes and warriors showing that, great, this is possible. You can come back and play the best tennis of your life as a mother, and you're playing for something more. I think that's going to spur on so many more to do the same.
Yeah, like you said, it's a beautiful thing. It's an absolute inspiration to see them on the court and just absolutely thriving as well. So we go from mothers to a couple of teenage sisters that are just on the come up right now. We start with the 16-year-old Mira Andreeva taking on American wildcard Katie Valinets.
Well, things were going according to the way most people thought in that first set. Mira Andreeva was serving for the first set there. And it was Volinets who got a little bit more aggressive there, was able to step up, find her way back into this set, and not really let Andreeva get another game. Not even push it into a breaker from being down, trying to return to stay in the set. Reels off three games in a row, takes the first set 7-5. Second set, though, boy, she really had to dig deep here. Triple set point down. She ended up being four set points down overall. And it was Volinets who was kind of pulling a little bit of the Andreeva card. She was just being solid side to side, getting a few unforced errors out of Andreeva, forcing Andreeva to go for shots she normally wouldn't have. Got a little unlucky there. That was a really good pull of the trigger with the backhand down the line. And then Andreeva serving for this set. She was able to come back, break, and again, not let her get back in it. She reeled off several games in a row and was able to take it 7-5. Really, really impressive win for the youngster.
Pride of Walnut Creek went a perfect 6-for-6 on break points, saved four set points in the second. Said she didn't even know they were set points. She was so locked in. First top 40 win of the season. She will face Ange Jabeur next. Mira Andreeva obviously wanted to do better here, but she'll come back in Miami and get right back on it. And then we've got another teenage Andreeva in the draw. Mira's big sis, Erica, in action against Danielle Collins.
Yeah, DC coming out here, and we could see that the weather was on the horizon. These conditions out here, as the afternoon progressed, got windier and colder. And that changes so much of the court play. And Danielle was not too happy about it. Really, her game is dictated off of her passion for how she wants to play. Whether it's positive or negative, she needs that extra little oomph behind her game to really get herself going. And she fought through to get that first set, but Andreeva serving for that set, letting a set point go. And Danielle, now we're in the tricky part. She's been sleeping with that match point in the back of her head going into today, where she has the opportunity to finish this match off.
I mean, how tough is that? You've got a match point, and now when you step back on the court, it's game point for your opponent, and you've had hours to stew about that. Have you been in that position before?
Oh, yes. But it was match point down, I would say. I was playing Sarah Rani at Wimbledon, and I was match point down. It was my first time I qualified for Wimbledon. And I ended up thinking about it all night, what I was going to do. I was serving. Okay, yeah, am I going to kick serve? Am I going to go flat out wide, get the easy ace? And it ended up just being a double fault. So I made it really easy for myself. And luckily I did, because Sarah Rani, I got to throw her under the bus, got golden setted that next round. So luckily I saved myself from a golden set. Good things come in small packages, and a double fault caused a good thing to happen. So my name's not going to be in the record books as the golden set person.
Listen, I think you got to find a way to stay in the moment. I remember many years ago, I was playing Kei Nishikori in the qualifying of the US Open. We were in a third set. He was up 5-3, 15-30 for me, and rain came down. So you're coming back the next day and you're thinking to yourself, you know, it could be out of the match. What do I do here? All you can really focus on is those first couple points. Because look, you're either going to give yourself a shot to get back in the match, or it's going to be over. Stewing about all the stuff that might not happen is there's no relevance there. So I think it's staying in the moment for Danielle Collins. Don't think about the third set just yet. You're here in this second set here, and just stay focused in the game. She could be off in 2-3 points. She could find herself in a breaker, but really about those first couple.
Heed the words of Katie Volinets, now or
never. She was our motivation yesterday.
Right?
That was brilliant.
And that's
that
what, if you're Danielle Collins, now or never.
Yeah.
Step out on the court. Let's get this
And look,
done.
She may be approaching this tournament a little differently. I mean, she talked about that this might be her last year here, this last season for her. Hopefully she has a great year and decides to play a little bit more. But if that is the case, each tournament you come to, especially these beautiful big ones, you're going to savor it just a little bit more and be a little bit more keyed in.
Yeah, I mean, I texted with Danielle a little bit last night and into this morning of just like, you know, hey, how's it going? What's going on? Because, you know, we talk about tennis enough as far as people. And I just like, hey, what's going on? I know you've been talking about retirement for a long time. And she's just so content, so happy with her decision. And it's made her tennis play freer in a sense, because when you don't have that monkey on your back of when am I going to do it? I'm unhappy in this sport, or at least I'm not as happy as I once was. This isn't the driving factor in my life of what I want to do. And once she got that monkey off her back and actually said to everyone, listen, I've had a great career. I'm going to finish at the end of this year and I'll see what happens. I want to start a family. I want to do other things in my life. And that's great that she has the wherewithal to be able to just compartmentalize and put that aside and really focus on the here and now of what she can do with her tennis career.
Yeah, it's great to hear that. Definitely at peace with her career. She was not happy with somebody in her player box yesterday towards the end of
poor
that
Jared. Poor
set.
Jared. Getting the brunt of it. Getting the brunt
you
of it.
You know what? I don't mind. When she leaves, I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss all the fire that we used to get from D.C.
I
loved it.
I loved it.
Everybody better be on watch out there at the stadium that she's on. Everyone just, she could point out anybody to get it fired
get
up.
Out.
Yeah,
get
let's go.
Out.
Let's go.
All right, a lot more still to get to here on TC Live. An incredible story is on the way that you do not want to miss. A story of unthinkable tragedy and enduring hope as well. Find out how the Tennis Rwanda Children's Foundation was created. Stay with us.
I grew up in East Province of Rwanda. I had a family with 10 kids, a lovely mom and a lovely dad. It was a happy family. I was very young. Things started happening from nowhere. I remember it was on 7th April. My uncle started telling my parents that Hutu had started killing Tutsis. They were shouting, they were singing that Tutsis are going to be finished. I couldn't make a difference between Tutsis and Hutus. As a kid, I didn't know my ethnic group. My brother and my sister, they killed immediately. They took their machetes. They killed my sister, my mom too. That's the last time I saw the image of my mom. When I reached the orphanage, I was angry, I couldn't say, I couldn't talk. I was like just keeping quiet. I was on the street going to school. I met a guy. He was holding a racket. I asked him, what do you do with this? He said, we use it for playing tennis. I asked him, what is tennis? When I was doing some rallies with him, I started feeling that my pain is a bit going. So I was happy that tennis can be my medicine. I remember one day, there's a guy who was working in the Rwanda Tennis Federation. He told me, we are going to select you in a national team. When I started representing my country, I was very proud. Because I wanted to show these people who killed my family that I'm able, that I want to reach far. After being a champion for 7 years, in my heart, it was like, I have something to give back to my country. I launched a program. I started training 6 kids. 2022, I received a call. A man said, I'm Phil Cox. I like to come to Rwanda. I want to come to visit your program. Now we have 1,500 kids in one province. TRSF, we are focusing on kids. We think within 3 years or 4 years, tennis will be popular in the whole country. That's the vision and mission of TRSF. When I have time, I go back to the tennis court, especially when I'm sad or when I'm angry. I hold my racket. I go and play. and everything goes. Yeah.
For more information and to help support this cause, here is the QR code you can find on your screen. It's an incredible, incredible story that really shows the power of the sport of tennis to heal and give hope. When Josie said tennis can be my medicine when she's sad, she holds that racket and finds a bit of hope, a bit of solace, and really unthinkable what she went through, but tennis was there for her.
Yeah, I mean, sports can be such a healing aspect in life, and it's unthinkable what she's had to go through and what has the memories she has to keep within herself. And it's great that our great sport of tennis can find solace for her. And that can find solace for anybody, anyone who has a little bit of difficulty. Go out and take her words for what it's worth of, you know, you can find peace in other areas of your life. And it's so important to make sure you're at peace with yourself. And it's so hard to be able to find that without some sort of outlets, and whatever that may be for anybody. And it's great that she was able to find it within tennis.
I mean, look, this is a story about how much darkness there really is in the world. And a woman like this who was at the center of it, you could have let all that darkness engulf you, which is completely normal and expected. But still, even in the midst of all that, you have her shining her light and finding a way to shine through that, and not just shine through that for herself and for all of us, but look at how many children that she's able to help. And that's at the forefront of her mind. And she looks at helping all of those kids and shining her light as her medicine. And tennis is the utility that she's able to use to be able to do that. So, you know, for me, you know, you see this beautiful story and how tennis is, of course, able to help her do it, the vehicle, the instrument, but it's really about that beautiful light of hers shining through the darkness that there is in the world. Magnificent.
I'm just seeing one day somebody carrying a tennis racket. And what is that? What is tennis? And it really is a question that's much deeper than that. It's not just that it is a sport. What is tennis? Well, it's a life changer. It's something that has provided hope not only to Josie, but to thousands of children now.
Yeah, it's great that she was able to use this in such a positive way and getting other kids involved in the great sport of tennis, because it can give so many outlets to everybody, not only to get you physically, but when you're physically out there and sweating and laughing with your friends and enjoying it, you can find joy in just the little things and move on to that into the rest of your life. But it is so great that she has such a positive outlook of this darkness that happened in her life is not going to deter her. It's not going to define her. Yes, it's helped create all these great opportunities and a great foundation, but it's not going to be it for her. And that's a great outlook in life for anybody.
It's also beautiful to see how, you know, tennis means so many different things to so many different people. And I know a lot of athletes who they were a professional athlete in something else, and then they've sunk themselves into tennis. And that's been their outlet to be able to put in what God put into them. And for Josie, just seeing this other individual with a racket there, initially it was a point of connection. And she was probably in a place, as she said, where she just couldn't speak to anyone and she was just kind of shut off from the world. So even that initial connection with another human being came through tennis. And then the ability to connect over just hitting balls back and forth. And of course, you're out there in nature. So you're connecting with God and nature at the same time. So to hear all of that come through her, it kind of makes you look at tennis through her lens, which is such a beautiful thing too.
It is so beautiful. And we're going to have the privilege of having Josie and Phil on our desk later today, following the Stan Wawrinka-Thomas Mahach match. They'll be here to talk a little bit more about their story, about Tennis Rwanda Children's Foundation. And we look forward to that and hearing more about what the sport of tennis did for Josie. Once again, you can use this QR code on your screen to help support this cause. When we come back, we'll look ahead to some Americans in action. I'm Atraj Vandewey-Weissman back with you on TC Live. A reminder that Served with Andy Roddick is the new weekly series on T2. Watch as the Hall of Famer discusses the biggest stories in tennis with John Wertheim and some other special guests. Tune in for a new episode premiering Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, streaming on T2. John does a great job with Andy. He also had some amazing interviews with Kim Clijsters and Super Agent Max Eisenbud. So if you've missed previous episodes, go back, watch those on T2 as well. Time for our Americans in Action segment. We start with Marco Sciarrone, the former NCAA champ from UCLA. 8-3 in his last 11 matches back in his home state, but he ran into a really tough Tanasi Kokkinakis.
He really did. Look, when Tanasi's playing his best tennis, as we've seen in the past, and that big win over Roger Federer not too many years ago in Miami, it's when he's mixing up that giant power he has with a little bit of stability. We haven't seen that stability from him too much, but here he was moving around the court nicely, firing really well, especially off that backhand side, saved all four break points faced on his serve, was crushing on his own serve, 86% first serve points won. But that allowed him to just get a little bit more into the games of Giron on the return side of things. Second set, he was able to get it there at 5-5. And again, such a comfortable serving day. Cruised in that last game.
Aussie has battled so many injuries throughout his career. Good to see him healthy and winning matches on the ATP Tour. Meantime, for the ladies, Bernarda Pera came through qualies here, won a couple three-setters, so used to the conditions, would have another three-set battle against Daria Saville.
Yes, Daria serving for the set here, unable to serve it out, and it just gave Bernarda Pera just that little bit of life that she needed. And Bernarda can run so hot and cold, especially on the forehand wing. But when she is cracking it, it gives her so many opportunities to come forward into the net. And she's really improved that on her game, being able to understand the positioning you need to take. But again, as the storm was coming in, it just got windier and windier. You can see Daria doing everything in her power to just try and get another ball back. But this tiebreak was so back and forth and so tight. And finally, the pressure just broke Daria Saville and giving Bernarda Pera the double fault and the win.
Pera will get the 7-seed Markéta Vondrousova in the next round. Let's just take a look at some Americans in action today, beginning with Sloane Stephens, who, by the way, I saw a bit that she did on Instagram talking about her favorite dishes over there at Nobu. She likes the yellowtail sashimi. She likes the toro. Prakash, will she be bringing the wasabi today against Meyer Sharif?
Yeah, I certainly think she will. She didn't have your black card in there.
She did not. Black miso card is really
That's Weissman's middle name. Look, I like her against Meyer Sharif on this court, even though the ball's a little bit gritty and it's going to give Sharif a little bit more time with that. I don't even know what to call it. It's not a Western. It's a super extreme Western grip that Sharif's got on that side. So she will have a little bit more time, but I think this kind of slowish, grittier court is really good for Sloane. It gives her enough time to play that kind of defensive, aggressive tennis that she likes to play. She doesn't like to press the court too much. She likes to take her time, kind of settle in back there, get some unforced errors from opponent, but then press on that forehand side when she can. So I think it's a comfortable condition for her to be able to play some good tennis. Just want to see her compete every single point, start to finish, and I like her to come through.
That's always been the knock on Sloane, is she going to compete from start to finish? And I think that Sloane, given that, you know, she's coming more towards the latter end of her career, she's going to really enjoy being at these events, these venues once again. But I agree with you, Prakash. I think Sloane goes through this, and she really needs to start with her serve. Her serve is such an important aspect of getting her in that offensive mindset. She's not going to be offensive all the time, but when she is, that's where she is her best. Yes, we know she can run around and get that extra ball, and she's quick as lightning, but it's so much better for Sloane's game and her mentality to want to compete when she is aggressive with that forehand side.
Yeah, forehand is a monster for Sloane. She's a Grand Slam champion. So is Sonia Kenin. She lost first round, Coco, in both Dubai as well as Doha. Just one win this year. What does she need to do to turn it around?
Well, Sonia's always going to be a little bit hot and cold. I think she hasn't quite gotten comfortable with her game since her layoff. She's definitely still trying to find herself and what is her winning ways. Yes, she's flipped coaches and gone back to her dad, but it's more about Sonia being engaged in these matches. When she is engaged and fighting, she is still that Grand Slam champion and so hard to beat because she puts you in so many uncomfortable positions. She throws the ball up, she mixes the pace, and when you're playing someone like that, it's so hard to find your own rhythm. And that's what she does so well. She disrupts her opponent's rhythm. And if she can do that today and early and often, she'll come out successful.
Tough to pick. It really comes down to, again, like you talked about, which Sonia shows up. I mean, last year, I remember during the clay court season, she beat Sabalenka 1 week, and then she lost early in the French to a lucky loser following that, or didn't make it through qualies, rather. So it kind of just depends on who shows up. When she starts playing well, I mean, she can light it up. She can take out anyone out there because we know how well she plays from both flanks, and she kind of hugs that baseline really well, too. So I think the beginning of this match is going to be very important. I don't know that Tomova is one of those players who's going to blow her off the court, so she's at least going to be in every single point, and a lot of this result is going to lie in the court of Kennan.
All right, looking forward to both those matches. Of course, we'll have the highlights tomorrow on TC Live. But guess what? We got a treat for you. The last two men's champions here at Indian Wells practicing together. That's Taylor Fritz in the near court, Carlos Alcaraz in the far court. Fritzy, by the way, sporting the new Boss gear. He's got a new deal with Hugo Boss. But you don't often find the last two champs having a little practice session.
No, and this is the great thing about this tournament is, as you can see, the fans have such close access to these players, and all these players are looking to get as much time as possible on these courts. So you're going to get a lot of opportunities to see two top players banging it out and trying to get to the next stage and find out where each other's games are. But I talked to Taylor a little bit about the new look, the new logo, and he's happy to be the ambassador for Boss, and it's definitely a honor to be the ambassador of any clothing line.
Can we get a little shout out for the Tennis Channel camera work here? This is my favorite angle to be able to watch tennis from. I mean, sometimes when you watch, you don't realize how masterful these players are. I mean, this ball is rifling back and forth. It is going, they are getting it up and down with so much spin, so much weight. But still, when you look at just the players, looks like they're, you know, a little Sunday stroll, you know, ain't no thing. So I love the work that you're getting to see on the balls here. So you just realize how much actually goes into it.
Ain't no thing but a chicken wing and a string. They make it look so easy, P.
Oh, thank you.
I'm ready to get down.
It's so interesting to see. I mean, when I would go and watch these practices, if I was any fan around, I would just focus on one player at a time. Don't watch the rally ball too much. Watch how they move in between the rallies and how intense their footwork is and their preparation. Because so much you get distracted of, oh, the ball's going quick back and forth. But if you just focus on Carlos Alcaraz right here and how much he's doing little steps and how he's preparing for the shots, that's something that you can implement into your own game. Because, you know, I want to see someone at the local club look like Carlos Alcaraz and just ripping forehands.
That's such a great point, Coco. Keep an eye on the, it's like a swan, right?
Yeah.
Above the water is graceful, but below, they're working hard. They're working hard. When we come back, a look at the teenage American in our FanDuel match preview, Alex Mickelson. Playing later today, we'll tell you who has the odds.
This is a special Bloomberg report for Tennis Channel. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell returns to Capitol Hill, telling lawmakers to expect rate cuts. Novo Nordisk, the company behind Ozempic, has promising data on its new weight loss pill, saying it helped patients lose 13% of their weight. And New York Community Bank Corp held an investor call after the lender named a new CEO and received a $1 billion investment led by former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. In New York, I'm Yahira Hawkes for Bloomberg.
That Ozempic plug in there. All right, take a look at the action on Bally's and T2 today. Leaf Shiras, Paul Anacone going to call some great matches. Emma Raducanu against Masarova. Caroline Wozniacki picking up this one from yesterday against Zhu Lin up a set. And then Gael Monfils, Andy Murray yesterday on set said he's one of my favorite players to watch. We will be watching him against Max Purcell. Time now for our FanDuel match preview. And Southern California's own Alex Mickelson making his debut in the desert, taking on Jean Munar. And Mickelson, the heavy favorite to win this match.
You know, I'm not surprised. He's had a lot of good results coming in through the American tournaments that we've seen, and he's been really consistent. And that's the key when you are going to go out here and perform is and get your ranking inside top 100 and stay there. It's just being consistent at the matches you're supposed to win. And I kind of have to agree with the FanDuel. I think I'd put my money on Alex.
Straight set chicken nuggets for Alex Mickelson.
I don't know about chicken nuggets, Prakash. That's not on the diet. Come on.
20
Come
piece on. Used to be the regular order.
Used
but,
to be.
Yeah, we won't go down that route. I don't think Munar is doing any damage for the way Mickelson's been playing on the hard courts over here. I think he's going to be super fired up, especially coming to this event, coming in, you know, kind of first fresh time here, looking to do some damage. He's been playing exceptionally. He's only improving every single week. And again, Munar, one of those players who he makes his money off of your errors. Mickelson has been really buttoned up as of late. serves improving too. He's going to get more free points there. So -250, that's all good. I'm still putting my money on the kid.
I am totally with you there. Both around the same ranking, but Mickelson is just headed in one direction. Last year at this time, ranked outside the top 600. Now he's 80 in the world. How about that? Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Time now to enter the social net. And we got to pay tribute to former U.S. number one Stevie Johnson, lost in the first round of qualies and announced his retirement on Monday night. Emotional scenes with his wife Kendall and his daughters Emma and Molly. Got to a career-high 21 in the world, won 4 titles, Olympic bronze medal in doubles as well. Prakash, how would you characterize his career?
You've seen the reaction from all of the players. It has just been nothing but all love and respect. From the moment he first came on the scene, when he first came to USC, he wasn't even the best player there. He worked his way up to being that legend of college tennis that he was, where he had that season where he literally did not lose a single match in singles or doubles. I don't know that we'll ever see that again. And to be able to win 4 titles there and then carry that onto the tour, the one thing I will always remember Stevie for, regardless of how great of a gentleman he is, how great of a dude he is with all of us, and the results that he's had over the course of his career, is the way he competed. He was one of the toughest outs out there, and regardless of the time, day, snow, sleet, rain, whatever, he was going to give you his all. And that is something, as a fellow athlete, you just respect more than anything else.
It's so hard to say goodbye to this wonderful game that we all enjoy and love. But I went through juniors with Stevie, both from Southern California. I remember the mullet days of where he was, a little bit of that outlier in the draw. Yes, he had a lot of talent, a lot of different shots and everything, but he was never that top player, as you said, Prakash. But he definitely optimized the most out of his game, and what he was able to bring to the table definitely put a lot of players in different difficult positions. But I wanted to see the mullet have a comeback. The stash has been there for a minute.
Is solid.
The mustache has been there for a minute, but I think he should have finished off with the mullet if I was going to give any critique to his career, because that was such a staple in his junior career. Anyone that's played in Southern California during that time knew about the mullet.
Greatest collegiate tennis player of all time. You talked about that one. Ended his career winning 72 matches in a row.
Two straight singles national titles. No doubt. You got to give it to him. 100%.
Best of all time.
Yeah, I would agree.
We tip our caps to Stevie J. Just an absolute great guy. Wish you all the best. Maybe see him on the desk.
I think he'd be great. Rock and roll.
Line. All right. Much more still to come. Tomorrow on TC Live, we will be sitting down with pickleball superstar number one in the world, the 16-year-old Anna Lee Waters, will join us to talk about all of her success in pickleball. We've got pickleball TV now, and so AL Dub is in the house. But when we move on, how about another first-timer here at Indian Wells for Tennis Channel? John Isner is going to be calling the match with Brett Haber for Stan Wawrinka, Thomas Mahal.
Come on, Iz. Can't wait.
TC Live at the BNP Paribas Open is brought to you in part by FanDuel. Make every moment more.
Welcome back to the desert. We are just moments away from walkouts on Stadium One, but we've got some big news to break here on TC Live. We told you yesterday, Simona Halep had her suspension for doping taken from 4 years down to 9 months. Eligible to play immediately. Guess where she's coming back? Miami. Gets a wild card into the Miami Open. What's your reaction to that?
She's ready to go. I definitely thought it would be in the clay court season that she would come back. Kind of let this news die down a little bit so it wasn't so much of the forefront of everyone's narrative going into Miami. But, heck, she's waited long enough. She's ready to go.
I guess it's also something that's been in the works, because if you know your appeal's probably going to come through, there's maybe a conversation with Miami, maybe keeping the wild card open. So she's definitely been practicing and gearing up for this. I thought it might be a process now, getting ready for the next set of events, as you talked about, Coco. But I don't think we're going to see a not ready Simona Halep when she steps on that court. She must have been gearing up for this and well prepped.
Yeah, here she's in great shape. And when the news broke, they offered her the wild card. Yep. At first, she wasn't 100%, and then a couple hours later, she was all in. So, yeah, I want to get out there. And we've been hearing from Simona over the past few months, hey, take my appeal case, because that's been going on for a long time. And once they finally did, I think she's been chomping at the bit.
No, absolutely. It's been a long time coming that the appeal was finally heard. And I think that was the unfortunate part about this whole thing, was how long it took for it actually to hit the court system and actually get a fair and trial out of all of this. And whether or not the appeal holds, we'll find out. But she's definitely waited long enough, and she's trained, as we've said, and also heard about from not only herself, but also from Darren, that she's training hard in Romania, has definitely kept her head in the game and not wavered one little bit that she is going to come back at some point in time. But we'll see what kind of status her game is at. It's going to definitely be a determination of what goes on further and see how many more wild cards she's able to get. But I think it'll be great to see Simona back.
Yeah, former world number one, multiple-time Grand Slam champion, returning at the Miami Open. Of course, first ball to last coverage right here on Tennis Channel. Today, we've got you covered as well with all of these tasty matchups. Stan Wawrinka, Venus Williams, Naomi Osaka, Sloane Stephens, Sonia Kenin, all in action. So let's talk about it. One of the moms, Naomi Osaka, taking on Sarah Arani. How do you break down this matchup, Coco?
I mean, it's going to be on Naomi's racket. And we've known this for her whole career, that if she is taking and dictating, she's going to come out on top. And it's been all about the execution for Naomi. She's got to control the real estate along the baseline, not let Sarah throw too many balls up high and loopy and make this a clay court match, because that's what Sarah Ronnie's going to try and do, to really disrupt Naomi's rhythm. But I think if she comes out strong early and quick and get Sarah on her back foot, especially on Sarah Arani's service games, I think that's going to be key for Naomi to be successful.
Yeah, she's not going to get pressured too much by the pace of Arani. We know she makes her money running from the back of the court. But I think something we can keep an eye on is also Naomi's first and second serves, seeing how well she's able to execute, keeping the percentages high, getting a few free points. When we saw her earlier this year, that was one of the areas that perhaps let her down a little bit, a few too many double faults and unforced errors. But once she starts tightening that up, I think that Naomi that we know is going to come back really quick. As she's come back, her fitness level has been very good, and her power, that hasn't gone anywhere. So I think for her, it's just continuing to be comfortable out there and tightening up. The high days, they're always going to be there. So as long as she can just keep bumping up those low days, we're going to see the old Naomi. Strike that. The new Naomi. Come back. That's right.
But this is where it all started for her. Remember, she won in 2018 on the U.S. Open, yep. Australian Open. So good vibes here. Coming up first on Stadium 1, the man himself, Stan Wawrinka, taking on Tomas Mahac. Wawrinka, former finalist here, Prakash. He is not happy with the tennis balls, though. He's been tweeting about it, all that stuff. Do you think he puts that out of his mind and just takes care of business?
Well, he certainly got to. He's 0-1 against Mahac, and now he's coming in with a bad attitude if he doesn't like the balls. But look, he's a consummate pro. He's won 3 Grand Slams here. He's going to get his mind right, come in with the right attitude. But I will say, if that's something that's playing on your mind, if you all of a sudden get down a set, something like that, you start thinking, the balls are worse than they are. But if you're up a set, you get off to a good start, you know what? The balls aren't that bad. So I think getting off to a good start will be paramount for him. But again, perhaps, Coco, one of the similar situations to the one you just talked about, more on his racket?
Oh, definitely. And I think we all can attest. We want to see vintage Wawrinka out there ripping the backhands. And he did that so well in previous years that he was able to give himself time on the backhand and forehand side to be able to get himself into these matches.
All right, looking forward to 12 hours of live tennis. We'll be here on the desk, keep you updated, and have all the interviews with your favorite players. But when we come back, Brent Haber in the booth with Big John Isner for the call of this one. Stan Wawrinka, Tomas Mahac gets us underway on day 2 of the BNP Paribas Open.